Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, January 11, 2016. I am Jason Powell. WWE announced earlier today that Sting is the first entrant into the WWE Hall of Fame. Triple H quoted in the official press release as saying, "We are truly honored to have Sting take his rightful place in the WWE Hall of Fame. His contributions to our industry are unprecedented, and we look forward to celebrating his incredible career with fans all over the world," end quote. Sting, clearly, by WWE criteria, is most definitely a worthy entrant into their Hall of Fame, and I suspect he will be the headliner unless WWE chooses to induct Undertaker at this year's event as well. And for that matter, I mean, I just don't know what their deal is with Rock when that ends as far as his WrestleMania commitments are concerned. You got to think that it's at least possible that, what a long shot possibility, if he really is around for kind of the long haul as far as WrestleMania is concerned, there's no rush, and it doesn't need to be done this year. I'm just saying that if there's like an end date to this thing, you have to think that they want to get Rock into their Hall of Fame before he ends up going back to Hollywood permanently. And I don't even know that he is, but just thought I'd throw that in there as a possibility. I've had some readers already ask if this means Sting is done as far as wrestling in WWE is concerned. I don't think it has to mean that. I do suspect he's worked his last match for WWE, but that's because of the injury. He's battling a neck injury right now, and the severity was still uncertain, at least the last time Sting addressed this publicly. He was hoping to avoid a major surgery, but some type of surgery was expected at that point. I mean, it's a long shot, but if Sting were to have maybe the more minor of the surgeries and then be medically cleared by WWE, I mean, then it's still possible for him that they would let him wrestle again despite the Hall of Fame induction. I mean, I don't think the Hall of Fame induction blocks anything. It may signify that his career is over, I'm not sure, but it's not like they wouldn't let Steve Austin wrestle this year if he were interested just because he's already in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's not like once you enter the Hall of Fame, that's it, you're done, no ifs, ands, or buts. So I don't see it that way. Again, though, I don't see it as being likely, given his age and the injury, that we see Sting back in a WWE ring at some point. And, of course, with the first announcement, this has led to a bunch of questions regarding additional Hall of Fame names. And, they could easily go with the Texas theme and fill the entire class of 2016. There's just so many Texas wrestlers who are not in yet that certainly deserve to be. Michael Hayes has waited way longer than he should have for the Freebirds to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I think we all suspect that is going to happen this year. And I thought it was going to happen when they were in Atlanta, but they didn't do it then. And so, it's worth the wait. I think Texas is where they had, the majority of their success. They meant the most there. And I lived through that Von Erickson Freebird feud, just watching it in, my area, Minneapolis, St. Paul, on a UHF station. It was just phenomenal. And so I think it's about time. Hopefully that will happen this year. What about guys like Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, JBL, or even Miss Texas? Is Jackie Moore. I think there's certainly, and I'm not even going to run through the entire long list of Texas candidates, but those are just a few that come to mind. Really, the list for Texas candidates goes on and on. Will they go with Owen Hart? Not a Texas connection there, but they did make that Owen Hart DVD this year, so perhaps there's some plans to go through with that this year. Either way, I just assume we're going to be finding out more names officially every Monday or somewhere in that time frame. It doesn't have to be Monday. I think they've done some over the weekend in the past, but we'll be finding out here as we move forward names, I would assume, on a weekly basis. I mentioned one of the Sting stories that we have on the website, and I've really said this for a while now, that I miss when WWE used to do their make the announcements, I should say, on WWE Raw. They would keep the inductees' names quiet and then unveil them on Raw. And, tonight I'm sure Sting fans will watch to see the WWE Hall of Fame video, the official announcement on Raw, however you want to look at it. But I think it would be even more of a hook to simply announce that the first inductee will be announced on Raw, especially once you get deeper into the class and some of the names that they announce just don't draw as many fans to a show like Sting does. I think the mystery of, okay, who's it going to be is a lot of fun. And I think announcing the Hall of Famers on Raw made the show feel more newsworthy. And Lord knows, in the 3-hour era, They need whatever they can to feel newsworthy. And so this one, it looks like they just decided to announce it themselves. They didn't co-opt this. It wasn't something that ESPN's Jonathan Coachman or TMZ were reporting. It just was something that WWE put out there. I was a little more understanding when they took the approach they did last year of having those new major news outlets make the announcement, because they got something out of it. They got a lot of attention for it in mainstream places, obviously. But when you take that away and you're just announcing it yourself, I mean, maybe this one, I can understand the logic going against a big national championship football game tonight, as they will be, which 33 million viewers, I think it was last year. It was like the all-time record for cable television. So if you're not paying attention to, if you're not a big college football fan, or maybe you're listening outside the United States, this is a huge deal. They have a stronger competition tonight than they ever had during Monday Night Football season this year. And so I get the idea that maybe Sting just announcing him will get some curiosity views, people kind of flipping back and forth, wanting to see that. But still, I really wonder, even with an announcement like Sting, would you be better off just saying, tonight's a night, the first Hall of Fame entrant is going to be announced. Now a lot of those people go, oh, it's Sting, and then I'll just go to the website and watch the video once they put it up. I don't have to watch Raw. So just my take on things. I would like to see them go back to that approach. I don't know how realistic it is, but I can always want. All right, Brock Lesnar returning on WWE Raw tonight. He actually returned to the ring on Friday night in Houston, Texas at Toyota Center. You can find the results in our live events section, thanks to James Caldwell over at PWTorch.com for passing those along. But Lesnar defeated Sheamus in his, I guess, latest return match, if you will. Tonight should be interesting for Brock. I'm curious to see whether I was going to say he announces, but I guess it would be Paul Heyman, who's also going to be returning tonight, I would assume, whether Heyman will announce that Brock is entering the Rumble, or if Brock challenges the winner of the Rumble to a match at Fastlane, because keep in mind, he's officially advertised for Fastlane. I think we talked about that last week. No official Rumble advertising with Brock involved yet, but I got to note that the website for the Amway Center in Orlando, they're hosting the Rumble. They don't mention any names. There's just not really any strong advertising for the show, just kind of here's when it is and here's how you get your tickets. There's not a list of names, as we saw with the Fastlane event, and there's just some arena sites are like that, some are not. But Lesnar entering the Rumble would leave me a lot more excited about the Rumble match, simply because I would see him as a viable candidate to win the match. And it would take away some of my concerns that the match is all about Roman Reigns and the McMahon family. And I say some because, hey, Brock could still be like a hired gun of the McMahon family. And that would be better to me. I would be more intrigued by that. Even though it feels a little quick to turn Brock Lesnar again, and I fear that, well, the fans at WrestleMania would still cheer him over Roman Reigns anyway. But still, it's more intriguing to me than a WWE Championship match with Reigns facing Hunter at WrestleMania. As I've said many times, yeah, I look forward to seeing Reigns and Triple H wrestle. I think they've been building up to it for some time now. It looked like it was going to be Rollins and Hunter, but I always assumed we'd get Reigns and Hunter too. But I guess I just don't want to see it for the title at WrestleMania. If it's they move the title onto someone else and Reigns and Hunter have a match that doesn't involve the title at Mania, cool. Think about it. I mean, if Hunter goes in as champion or challenger for that matter, do you really expect him to win? I mean, they can shock us all and then have him lose on Raw or something like that. The point is, you just know he wouldn't be a long-term champion. Ring of Honor held its first show of 2016. They had a television taping in Concord, North Carolina. I'm not going to get into spoilers, so don't worry. But let's just say that the lineup for the 14th anniversary pay-per-view event in February has some New Japan flavor. It's always nice when Ring of Honor can get some New Japan talent in on the show. And the taping spoilers are available on the main page as well. You can find those along with some house show reviews. Check our Ring of Honor live events section for that, and then WWE live events for the live events for the WWE held over the weekend. And we also had the TNA One Night Only live pay-per-view results. I was unable to see the show just due to some family issues, but wanted to cover it. Well, kind of. I got to admit, it was not high on my list of priorities. It was like, I knew, I'm like, pissed and moaned about it all week, and I know, like, at the end of the day, I'm going to cover this. I'm not going to be happy about it, but then I had things come up, and so it just didn't work out. But you can find all the results of that on the main page over at ProWrestling.net. Back to Ring of Honor, though. Last week's question of the week that I threw out there for the .net members to answer in our new .net audio thread in the forum was to name the Ring of Honor best wrestler or MVP, however you want to look at it. They are different categories, but to name the best wrestler or MVP in 2015. Everyone who wrote went with Jay Lethal. Assassin5.net members, just a handle in the forum. He says, with limited knowledge, I got to go with Lethal, elevating the TV title and then capturing the world title and holding both for a long time. Fellow.net member Fat Mike says, I vote for Jay Lethal as well, with Roddy Strong a close second. Lethal won the heavyweight title for the first time in his career, defended both belts often, and gave 100% in the ring every time, including the house show in Buffalo that I went to back in September. And then finally, GDT1985 says, I have not watched Ring of Honor in a while, but Lethal is the only one I remember doing anything worthwhile. Ooh, that's tough. And that's not true, I gotta say. But anyway, he finishes. Plus, he is good, even if his promos still seem to slip into a little bit of his Flair impression. I strongly disagree that there's not a lot, you know, that he's the only one doing anything worthwhile. I mean, I think you need to sit down and watch some Ring of Honor. The television show isn't always a great indicator, but definitely get a pay-per-view event. And even, you know, the TV show, if nothing else, it has strong main events most of the time. It just, they don't do a great job of making you feel like you're watching anything special. And for the company that's giving away more big pay-per-view main events than maybe anyone, it's just so strange that, oh, here's the Young Bucks against Roppongi Vice. You better know what the history of both teams are. Kevin Kelly will tell you a little bit, but they just don't showcase it in a way where it's like, this is big. You need to be excited about this. It's a mistake on their part. But no, there's a lot of good acts in Ring of Honor. Dalton Castle is phenomenal. Silas Young and the way he and Dalton Castle go back and forth is great. The Briscoes are a lot of fun. I mean, I could just go on, but there's a lot going on, so I had to disagree with that. But as far as my pick for this, I have to go with Jay Lethal. You know, I thought Roderick Strong might get some love from the readers because he really did have a phenomenal 2015. But at the same time, I just can't disagree with people voting for Jay Lethal as the MVP, certainly. You can make a case that Strong gets the best wrestler nod and Lethal wins the MVP award because they are two different categories, and Strong really had his best in-ring year to date. But I think the thing that puts Lethal over the top for MVP is that he filled the champion role very nicely at a time when Ring of Honor needed someone to take command of that slot. I thought Jay Briscoe was fine in that role, but they wanted to make a title change, and you just didn't know, all right, how is this Lethal thing going to work? There's still a lot of people out there that remember him best, and probably still are, because they just don't see Ring of Honor. A lot of people who remember the Randy Savage impersonation and that whole Black Machismo bit. He is completely, when I watch Ring of Honor now, I don't even think about it. And I was pretty stubborn about thinking that this thing is ruining his career. They need to stop this. And now, you know, he's just done such a good job on Ring of Honor television, I'm not thinking about it. You know, just filling that championship role, having great matches, I think he is definitely their MVP. I don't think Roderick Strong would have worked as well in the champion role this year, last year. I don't think he'd have worked as well as Lethal did. But, you know, interestingly enough, Lethal's deal with Ring of Honor is expiring next month, so I'm curious to see what his next move will be. I believe he is already, either he's contracted through or, is, you know, I mean, he's going to be at the Ring of Honor 14th anniversary pay-per-view event, so no worries there. But I would think Ring of Honor re-signing with them is certainly a strong possibility, but you can't rule out a move to WWE if it's something that he's always wanted to do, and I just don't know. But I guess I would think Ring of Honor is probably the leader, but I just don't know. But that's another very interesting thing to watch here early in 2016, just to see where he ends up. The new question of the week is one that where I'm turning the tables on you guys. I start hearing these questions, I don't know, it feels like it's in like, well, February, but I'm guessing it doesn't start, they don't start that early. But it's simple. Who should win the WWE Royal Rumble match and why? And I'm not looking for a 10,000-word fantasy booking breakdown, but please do offer a little bit of explanation as to why you feel your pick is the best option and whether you have any confidence in it actually happening. You can always take part in this by visiting the .NET Members Forum and finding the .NET Audio section. It is right below the list of .NET staffers is right there in that same section. So definitely look for that. I'll have that up. I should have it up by the time you listen to this in case I forgot. And if I did, feel free to give me a nudge. But yeah, who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble here coming up here in a couple of weeks? Finally, join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw, beginning with the Raw pre-show at 6:30 p.m. Central, and I run through the basics of the show because it usually includes some Raw match announcements, and Usually, I mean, until Booker T got there last week, they have a pretty good laid-back chemistry. And not saying it won't be as good with Booker there, but it wasn't last week. I'm sure they're just developing some chemistry. But of course, I will be covering Raw live as it airs on USA Network. Plus, I will be by with a .NET member exclusive audio review after the show tonight. The members will be listening to my Q&A audio show this afternoon as well. I'll answer their wrestling questions on everything from Balor Club to Shinsuke Nakamura to, the crushing Minnesota Vikings defeat on Sunday. Yeah, can't wait to talk about that one. But I always answer the pro wrestling questions first, save the non-wrestling silliness for the end of the show. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the site and you want to hear all of the audio content we put out there, and it is a ton of it, visit the main page at prowrestling.net. Look for that sign-up area right there on the right side of the page. You'll find three different pricing options. Take the one that works best for you, but know that the monthly rate starts at $7.50 for 1 month. But if you want to save yourself some money, you can sign up for a six-month membership. If you want to save the most money, sign up for the annual membership, and it whittles that monthly price down to $5.50 a month. But again, all the details available over on the main page at prowrestling.net. I will be back tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit. I'll be back with my Raw hit list tomorrow and some bonus Raw notes, and we'll look ahead to the second week of TNA Impact Wrestling on Pop TV. So until then, thank you for listening. Take care.